ABC Radio Australia.
If All Black great and former Manus Samoa head coach Tuifa Asasina Sir Brian Williams is right, then the entry of two Pacifica teams into the Super Rugby next year would be the catalyst for enormous change for the game right across the Pacific. Indeed, on Pacific Beat yesterday, Sir Brian told me that he can see a day when a Five Nations Oceania Championship would be born, with Samoa, Fiji and Tonga lining up against Australia and New Zealand. Now, earlier this morning, I spoke to Enoki Afiaki, who captained the Tongan team at the World Cup and was also a skipper of the combined Pacific Islands team during its brief existence in the 2000s. And he says that he shares Sir Brian's optimism.
I spent 8 years in Japan and 5 in Singapore. And you saw what Japan did with a Super Rugby team. They went from not being very good to being serious competitors, reaching the quarterfinals. So with that added vehicle of having a team in Super, we will be a serious threat to knocking over bigger teams, have a new look at different teams reaching quarterfinal playoffs and World Cups. And that's what's been missing. We'll just lack the cohesion that you have from having a team together to get their systems in place. Tonga, Samoa and Fiji having their players play in this will increase that pipeline of players that we already donate to the world. So all rugby around the world will benefit from it. There are some sort of pathways already in place that New Zealand, Australia, Japan definitely are tapping into and taking our best. But that would just make a stronger pathway for that to happen.
And one of the things is, no one's doubting the opportunity that this would present to Pacific players. One of the concerns will be creating a sustainable business model for Moana Pacifica and the Fijian Endrua. Obviously, the comparison that you made to Japan is that the Japan's economy is very different when it comes to that kind of financial support. Given the history when it comes to some of these countries, when it comes to poor governance and, that kind of record around rugby, what do you think will be some of the challenges to ensure that this is a sustainable model? And, once they do get to the world stage, it is something that, can keep going and it's not just kind of a flash in the pan event.
Yeah, that is rife in Tonga, islands like Tonga. And rugby is a culture that is one that it's usually good of calling out bad behaviour when it does happen. So that's for Sansa or Super Rugby to make sure that they stay on top of those that are given the governance roles in these super teams. Of course, countries like Japan are well versed in running a business and making a profit out of it. So that's the type of skill sets that we do need. If you notice, the Pacific Moana have a flood of New Zealand people involved. So they themselves are used to operating in a system where our resources are finite. And they are very good at their governance, and people do get called out for not doing the right thing. And that's the culture we want. I think the problems that happened in the island for so many years is that they're not being called out enough for behaving in a manner that's just going to hurt whatever system that they're a part of. And that's what rugby is as a culture as well. I give my people an example when I was back home in Tonga for 3 years, is that beating up women and women violence is still an issue on our island. We know it's not a good part of our culture, nor it is it happens all around the world. But we know it happens, but why aren't we addressing it? Again, rugby culture talks about being better as people. Why aren't we doing that? Yeah, that needs to start from the top. If they stay silent on it, then the whole thing, everyone gets disillusioned and walks off.
And, on the field, that's all obviously needs to take place off the field. But then on the field, once these players play, how competitive will they be? Because obviously no one wants to see them go out and lose in big numbers. So do you think that they will give these other teams a competitive run for their money once they enter the competition?
Yeah, I think the type of athlete that you need in top-level rugby, the physique of the Polynesian or Pacific Island person is more than capable to play that game. And we've probably gone down that road a long way with power and agility and just talent or sheer sort of brilliance. It's just a matter of time. You'll probably see the first year of a lot of teething issues to understand the game better. But like anything that's learned, it takes a year or two to master it. After that, you'll have a scary, well-oiled machine. But no, I don't think that's an issue. I think everyone's expecting a bit of a bumpy ride initially, but after that, it's just sheer brilliance will be enough to you know, worth waiting for.
Do you reckon that the pandemic has kind of, you know, not forced their hand, but made them act faster, given the closure of international borders, the fact that, you know, the Pacific teams are more easily accessible than, let's be honest, Argentina. What impact has the pandemic played in this decision?
It's like nature's plan. Just keep it simple and stay within the environment that you've been given to operate in. I think the rugby, Super Rugby, went crazy, complicated and very expensive. Hence teams been playing well and getting asked to leave because the competition can afford the Western Force and Japan's Sunwolves. The model was too unsustainable on their own level, and they had money. So this very simple structure keeps it affordable for all, and it'll survive tougher times. So the pandemic has hit the reset button for everyone, and they've come up with a very simple sort of plan, and it's sustainable, and they can grow from there. So hopefully keeping it simple, keeping it more honest, I think is not only financially wiser, given the crisis that we've had with the pandemic, obviously hit the reset button, keep it simple, keep it affordable.
And finally, this is all obviously taking place on the professional scale, but how will this decision trickle down to the grassroots level? And in particularly, you know, in your home country of Tonga, what will it mean for, you know, new and emerging players and creating a, you know, a pathway into professional rugby? What will it mean at, you know, those levels under the, you know, the professional level?
For the majority, let's say 95% of the world's population of rugby people are amateur. And without having a pipeline for that, then you're going to see disintegration. Tonga's issue or the Pacific Island issue, we're having a Pacific Island team in Super Rugby, simply bolsters the already informal pathway that's there. Often that informal pathway doesn't give Tonga, Samoa, Fiji their players back. Now we'll have a ton of kids, let's say double the amount of kids that are already hitting Super Rugby or playing international rugby, reach that level, having this pathway. So it'll double our capacity at least. But how does that filter back into the amateur grassroots level? That's a systemic issue all around the planet, and rugby hasn't solved it yet.
That was Anoki Afiaki, former Tongan captain, speaking to me earlier this morning.